The IAB Australia podcast, digital advertising leaders and the issues that matter.
How do we make it simple?
Try to stop a lot of the buzzwords.
A chance to change the way a whole industry works.
For more information, visit iabaustralia.com.au.
Welcome to the IAB Australia podcast. My name is Gay Leroy and I'm lucky enough to be the CEO of the IAB in Australia. In today's episode, we're going to take a look at the ad-supported live streaming market, investigating both consumption and industry trends. To help us understand what's going on, we're lucky enough to have a new research report called Live and Kicking, an in-depth look at live streaming in Australia, which has just been released by Magnite. And to help us walk through that and other interesting industry bits and pieces, we've got James Young, who's the Managing Director of Magnite in Australia. Hi, James.
Hello.
And Brett Islab, who's the National Digital Sales Manager for SBS. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Gay. Thanks for having us.
Pleasure. Now, one of the favourite parts of our podcast, apart from our amazing insights on the industry, is getting to know the people we're chatting to and how they turned up in the digital advertising industry. James, what's your background? How do you find yourself here?
Oh, gosh. I have a bit of a funny way into media. I didn't start straight out of school into media or anything like that. I came out of school and went into hospitality for 6 years and was a hotel manager for a while, the Green Gate Hotel up in Killara, if anyone knows it. It's a great place. Then I moved overseas because, as you do when you're a young kid, you go overseas, and then decided I hated hospitality, came back. And a friend of mine was actually working at Fairfax Media at the time in ad ops and said, do you want to come along? And then I came in, did the interview, got the job, and met Brett, funnily enough. Brett and I started out in ad ops at Fairfax way back in 2007. So we've known each other a very, very long time, which is quite nice. And we've gone through a lot of career changes in that time through the media industry. But after that, I went to a bunch of different brands. Went to Allure Media, which eventually got bought out by Fairfax, and then I went to eBay after that and headed up advertising for eBay. Then I jumped to The Guardian for about 2 years before getting the role at what was Tremor Video, which then rebranded three times in 3 years to eventually become Magnite. And now I'm, running the Australian arm, which is, a mix-up of the legacy Rubicon, Telaria, and SpotX businesses. And, we're just making it work in all things digital, which is fun.
I hope your parents have kept all your old business cards. That's an interesting journey there. And it seems like all roads lead to Fairfax. You guys must have been almost there the same stint that I was there, maybe slightly afterwards. But, Brett, how about you? How did you fall into media?
Yeah, for me, I came out of high school looking for a full-time job that would fund my ambitions as a musician. I stumbled into an operations role at Val Morgan by chance, and then a year later was poached by someone who had moved over to Fairfax, and that's where I started working in digital. And as Jimmy mentioned, that's where we met each other, so we cut our teeth together in the ad operations team. From there, I've sort of worked across operations and sales in different capacities for a few different businesses. I've been at SEA. I was working across the Vivo product there for a while. But for the last 4 years, I've been working at SBS, heading up SBS On Demand. So we are Australia's most premium BVOD platform, and really spending a lot of my time discussing global and multicultural content and educating Australians around the multicultural world in which we live, which is the nicest way that you can be a salesperson, I think. It's the way that I feel the most comfortable at night about being a salesperson is working for SBS. So been in the industry a while, and James and I have been working together through various roles for about 15 years now.
Okay, so it's all starting to make sense now, because you two are some of the most, as well as inspiring, but pragmatic leaders, and that ad ops background really is the secret to that, I think.
You've been
on the ground. You've trafficked, you've dealt with salespeople from the other side.
It gives us both a really unique place in managing the relationship between operations and sales teams.
Oh, yeah. I remember Friday nights when the salespeople would drop an IO on your desk at like 4:45. I would make them sit there. Well, I actually make them go get me a beer and then come and sit with me while I trafficked it for them.
Perfect. Yeah. So live streaming, there's been a buzz around live streaming growth in terms of consumption for a few years now. And sport content has always been the one that sort of has, you know, seemed to be top of mind for a lot of people. And James, it looks like you've focused on that in the research that you've created. What do we currently know about the live sort of sports market, live streaming sports market at the moment?
Yeah, look, I mean, the research piece that we've done, so we did it in conjunction with a business, Harris Interactive, to conduct the research on our behalf, and it was about over 1,200 respondents across Australia who watched 7+ hours of TV each week. What we found from that is that 82% of them are OTT viewers are using some level of live streaming, which was interesting. Of that, there was a huge proportion which were sports fans, which is unsurprising for Australians. You know, generally, they follow over 3 sports and watch 5.5 hours of it each week. But 74% of them are actually using live streaming services to consume that sport, which is also really interesting. So it's important to think, you know, from an advertiser's perspective, it's one of the most interesting places for advertisers to be. They can really get their message across more effectively, because people consuming live sports are far more interested in the content, and therefore that spills over into the advertising messages. And if you can get your brand messaging aligned well with the sport, you can have incredible recall, and that's evident in this research that we've released.
Yeah, and you've got that sort of larger audience all viewing at one time.
Yes, and that, you know, that it's a blessing and a curse in a few different ways in digital, which I can get into.
Yeah, we'll talk about the technical opportunities a bit later on. Brett, from an SBS point of view, have you seen a growth in this sort of consumption?
Absolutely, we have. So looking at sort of cycling for us at the moment, if we look at sort of the Giro d'Italia, we've seen around 173% year-on-year growth in the live stream for that event. So it's absolutely massive. For us, it really is about how do we tap into that audience passion, right? Because we understand for something like the World Cup, which is coming up in November, that is an incredibly huge global event that drives a lot of passion for people. So how do we ensure technically that we are set up as a platform to get out of the way and ensure that audiences can engage in that passion, but also that creative messaging is bespoke, that it works seamlessly into the integration of the content, and that we really are tapping into that lean-in engagement that we're seeing audiences have across something that they're incredibly passionate about.
And from the research, there was a lot of focus on the, you know, the huge chunk of streaming that was CTV. And maybe Brett, I'll start with you. Is the device distribution really dependent on time of day? You know we've seen a big uptick in CTV during COVID, or do you think this is just the way that we're all going?
I think that it's definitely hybrid at the moment, and it depends on the consumer and where they're at in their time of the day. Because if you are, you know, back out and about post-pandemic and running around with your job, kids, everything else, you're probably more likely to be mobile-centric when you are checking scores or things like that. But when it comes to those big event moments, thinking about, you know, the Socceroos qualifying for the World Cup and things like that, they're things that you want to view on the connected TV. You want to engage in the biggest screen in the house. You want that event-like experience in your living room, and the connected TV is the thing that delivers that. So I think that, you know, looking at 2018 to 2022 in terms of World Cup consumption, I would say that we're going to see significant growth in CTV based on what we've been through in the last 4 years.
And James, you mentioned people have on average 3 sports. Was that right?
Yeah, it was. The official stat is 3.3 sports on average that people follow. So, you know, it's, I don't know how they follow a third of a sport, but sure. it's an interesting one in the Australian market. And when we compared that to the US, it was quite significantly higher in terms of sports consumption overall as part of a live streaming service. I think it was something along the lines of 68% in the US, but it's 84% in Australia. So significantly more sports consumption in Australia, because we're a bit of a sports mad country. And there's just so many codes, right? So, I mean, The popular codes are the obvious ones like AFL, NRL, and tennis, cricket, soccer in Australia, which are, you know, that's where your brain normally goes to when you think about sport in Australia. But there's a really big long tail of extra sports that people follow. So we've seen, you know, motorsport follows up closely behind that, basketball, the NFL is up there as well. So I think the live streaming piece, and going back to your question around device consumption, CTV versus mobile, I think time of day plays into that quite significantly, where, you know, some sports, you know, the English Premier League is popular, and, you know, people watch that at 3 a.m. Generally, they'll lie in bed and watch it, or they'll be on an iPad and watching it. But then, you know, the AFL, the NRL, you'd be watching on the big screen because you might be sharing that viewing experience with a friend, or just wanting to watch it on the biggest screen possible to see all the detail. But it's evident that it just allows for people to consume it the way they want to consume it, which I think is the really key piece with the change to live streaming as opposed to coming through a broadcast linear service. It's an interesting shift, and it allows people to consume more sport, and that's where that you get that 3.3 from, is that you're able to consume it when you want it, where you want it, and be able to do it really easily.
Yeah. And to add to that, we're kind of seeing, with the proliferation of streaming services, we're seeing what's similarly happening in the wider streaming market, whereas those very niche, you know, the long tail of sports that James mentioned, that is still gaining that lean in engagement from that audience. And if they're engaging across platforms, it's where you find them and where you find them at that passionate time that is relevant for marketers and brands.
Completely. Yeah.
I love the long tail element of either of you got a secret long tail sport that you follow?
I mean, for me, I mean, it's not a long tail sport, but seeing the inclusion of skateboarding in the Olympics was pretty cool to me. I grew up a little punk kid into skateboarding and things like that. So alternative sports is kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. What about you, Jess?
Not dodgeball, mate. No.
Not for me.
No, look, I have three kids, so my sporting viewership becomes limited, but I'm a diehard F1 fan from very long, long time ago. I mean, Damon Hill was my idol when I was a kid. So, you know, like, it's nice to be able to get back into the F1 when I have kids. And I am one of those mobile consumers because I don't have time, and I watch the KO minis on a Monday morning when I'm getting the kids ready for school and stuff. So, yeah, like a diehard F1 fan, which is definitely not a sort of a fringe sport, but yeah, I sort of go where the crowds are and watch the big events. I love the Australian Open tennis, and I love I love the State of Origin. It's always good fun. But yeah, like unfortunately, other than that, it's I can't go deep on too many things.
That's all right. Our household's currently fighting between Wimbledon and the Tour, so we've got a lot of live streaming going on at the moment. So,
please preference the Tour. Thank you, Gay.
I won't tell you which one I'm on then, Brett. but it's very exciting. So with all this change, to make it, I guess, real for marketers and agencies when they're thinking about their screen strategy, where does live fit with everything else? Is there a different approach? How should they be thinking about it?
Absolutely. There's a different approach. It's a real education piece, because I mean, like what we've sort of touched on is, you know, the live sport's not generally middle of the day on a Monday or Tuesday. It's weekends, and it's 2 a.m. if it's a sport like English Premier League. It's one that is not the most straightforward to tap into, especially programmatically, where we see a huge amount of activity coming through. And you know, fortunately at Magnite, we get to work across a whole range of publishers with live sports, you know, we see these battles every day. But what we found is that the biggest part is education for marketers and buyers in this space to know that it's got to be treated as yet another different iteration of digital. So you had your display and your short form video, which is one iteration of digital, and then you have video on demand, which is a whole another kettle of fish, where you're dealing with podding and you know, and you need incredibly high quality creative, and there's a whole other sort of range of things you need to think about. And then you go into live sports, where it suddenly becomes another piece, where you've got to think about your strategy around your buying behavior. So you don't want to be setting and forgetting your campaigns to be frequency capping out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because the game won't start till 8 p.m. at night. Or 2 a.m. or whatever it is. So you need to be targeting your campaign specifically for what you're trying to reach. And otherwise you're going to miss out on targeting an amazing audience. And then live sports, the way it is, everyone's hitting an ad break at the same time. But the technical sides of things become a little bit more interesting. But from a marketer's point of view, it's about being deliberate about what you're targeting, not trying to just shoehorn your campaign across multiple different options in one go.
And is that thinking there yet? Is the market big enough for people to invest in that time and energy and planning?
Absolutely. I mean, sport has come so far in a live streaming. Like, we've seen such explosive growth across live streaming generally. But live sports is a real fuel behind that. And, across SBS with every, all the sports that they have in 9 and 7 and 10 and Foxtel with KO, and Optus Sport and ESPN, there's just so many
options. Is that all your clients, James? Did you get everyone there?
I think you nailed it.
I'm pretty sure I got everyone.
Well done.
I'll give you Samsung, right? I mean, Samsung is another one where we have live streaming only, fast service sort of style of approach. So there are so many different options now in a live streaming environment that people can tap into that allow for marketers to have a really interesting strategy that can be multi-sport in one day. And that's that's quite a cool opportunity for marketers, and being able to deliver their message to the right audience, which digital allows for. You get a lot more targeting and a lot more ability to understand what the audience who the audience is, creates a really big opportunity for marketers that hasn't been there in the past couple of years.
And Brett, are clients, understanding this when you're out in market talking to them? Are they embracing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as James said, it very much is that education piece around what are you trying to get out of live sports? Do your metrics or campaign KPIs need to change based on the fact that you have an approach over here for live streaming sport or something that you want to engage in that is essentially event television? But I think that, from a publisher perspective, it's an education piece around not only the relevancy of live sport and the relevancy of that event environment, it's also how are we technically set up to ensure that brands are put in the best light in those environments. So whether that is us using Magnite's live stream acceleration tool to manage the requests that are coming through, whether that is thinking about live digital ad insertion to ensure seamless transition from content into advertising, then back into content, really ensuring that we're set up on our end to have those conversations with clients and brands around what they want to achieve in live sporting environments.
And talking about live ad insertion, so when I talked to technical companies a few years ago, it almost felt like an artisan type craft to get the ads right. It felt like almost cobblers in a little workshop, stitching ads in just in time. Have we moved on from that, or is there still a sort of slight manual nature to this process?
I think I'd say there is potentially a slight manual nature to it. However, it has come a long way. If I hearken back to 2018 and sort of think about World Cup, we had our technical operations lead in the office at 4 a.m. ensuring that live digital ad insertion was where it needed to be. That is no longer the case, thankfully. But I think, it really is how close can we get it to that broadcast-like experience. That's kind of the gold standard for us in terms of that transition in and out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to build on Brett's point, we've seen I'd say one of the trickiest parts is every publisher is unique in the way that they set up their ad stack, and that creates sort of complications when it comes to trying to standardize things from publisher to publisher. So being understanding of what their strategy is with their technology, how they've built their stack, how far ahead they're calling for ads, knowing those sorts of elements then allows for fine tuning to make the whole ecosystem work seamlessly. We go through a lot of sort of back and forth with our publisher partners to make sure that we fully understand how their technology stack is working effectively, so then we can get ours to tap into that well. And that's where, the product that Brett mentioned that we've got is live streaming acceleration. It's a locally developed piece, actually, because, again, Australia, we've just seen so much live streaming action here. we saw there was a demand to fix a few of the sort of quirks when it comes to live streaming. So, I mean, to sort of keep it top level, the way it works is that we see that, you know, everyone hits an ad break at the same time in live streaming. So you suddenly go from zero ad requests to, say, 100,000 ad requests, and we have to then farm those out to all the different buying platforms. And those buying platforms need to think about it and respond within a particular amount of time. The problem with that is they're not tuned for, the buying platforms aren't designed to accept that many ad opportunities in one go. They have limits every second that they can accept. So it might be 20,000, 30,000, 50,000, depending on what their settings are. But generally, they cap out, and then there's a missed opportunity to fill ad breaks. What our LSA does is it spreads those requests out slightly, so that we're not jamming them all into 1 second. We're spreading them over maybe a 2 or 3 second period. So we're lowering the amount of requests we're sending each second to those demand partners, which then helps them filter and understand the traffic and ultimately respond to far more of the ad requests that we send than what they would have if it was all in one hit.
Yeah, sounds slightly more sustainable as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And as audiences grow, it's one of those things where live streaming becomes a headache for the digital ecosystem, because you've got so many ad requests to consider in one very short period of time. So thinking outside the box of that and how you tackle that is something that we've been focusing on a lot over the last year or two to ensure there's sustainable growth in the space.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised in the Australia leading the way. When I talked to any of my colleagues overseas last year about the Olympics, and a lot of them were like, oh, it was not a big deal, right? I'm like, well, yeah, it was actually a huge deal. So it does.
I mean, the Olympics was a perfect example where it's just, you know, that everyone, at least in Sydney, was in hard lockdown and couldn't go anywhere. So everyone just had the Olympics as their comforter to watch. And the live streaming aspect of that, with, 46 different sports going on at one particular time, was just incredible. You could watch whatever you like, watch the archery, go over to whatever, the beach volleyball or whatever else it was. It was just, it was amazing to be able to have that ultimate choice.
So I presume you're expecting more growth in this. We've seen incredible growth. You're expecting the trend to expand. What does that, and this is, maybe future gazing beyond where you're already thinking, or, it's hard to make plans always, but how will both of your businesses reshape, rethink any of the content and the tech to embrace this new trend?
Yeah, absolutely. From an SBS perspective, it really is around how do we ensure that we're constantly moving with what marketers and buyers in the market need? So how do we ensure that we're technically capable, but also at the same time, how do we ensure that we are, globally having conversations around what sports rights look like and how we bring those properties home and think about some of those maybe more niche sports, some of those, really engaged, passionate audiences that we can bring across to SBS and sort of showcase across the platform. But I think, from an audience perspective in Australia, sports is going to continue to be highly engaged, highly passionate, highly sought after. So I think the ability to create the perfect environment within a streaming platform to capture that passion, capture that engagement, and then ensure that brands can tap into that effectively and think about the way that they're doing it from a technical setup, thinking about live event buying different than their BAU buying is definitely something that we have to educate the market further on into the future, because I really think that, as we said, KPIs and various different metrics across campaigns need to change in that live environment. And I think that there is still an education process that needs to go along with that. But I think sporting is going to continuously be the highest engaged category across the market outside of, drama, because of the fact that we have such a highly passionate audience in Australia that want to watch it.
How about you, James?
I agree with everything that Brett said, but I mean, coming from a position where we're partnered with publishers to ensure that they're getting paid for the amazing live sports that they bring to the table. So from our perspective, it's how do we do that more effectively? What technologies can we develop to ensure that this burgeoning live space, including live sports, is monetized effectively? And that's through education with buyers, but also through technical solutions that we develop, ensuring that we're fast to respond to make sure that buyers are seeing every opportunity and every audience that is presented from that particular publisher. Taking sort of a wider stance on it, live streaming is just becoming the norm. People are less likely to plug in an aerial these days and just rely on their internet connection to watch all television. And their ecosystem is broadening in terms of the choice. And I mean, again, I mentioned Samsung earlier. You look at the choice that they give you in the 50 odd channels that they have streaming through their service, which is not connected through an aerial or anything, just immediately available to consumers, means the ad opportunity for marketers is huge. But coming back to that technical stance, making sure that we can respond to that effectively and quickly, and that we can deliver a service that is best in class for live streaming. And that's something that we've recognized is an area of growth, and have been absolutely focused on it for the last year.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to particularly, I guess, the monetization of diverse sports, female sports, Indigenous sports. There should be some brilliant, new burgeoning leagues and opportunities.
Absolutely.
There.
And the point I was going to make around that sort of, I guess, diversification of content outside of the technical space is with that engagement and that high passion across sport, that actually brings new opportunities for new sports to be brought to the forefront. So the Tour de Femme, which is happening this year, its inaugural launch. So the Tour de France female race, as well as how we sort of continuously ensure that we are bringing Indigenous stories, Indigenous sporting to the forefront as SBS as well, is incredibly important to us.
Well, I'll make a pitch. I'd like a table tennis league on SBS, please, Brett, if you could organise that.
If anyone's going to do it, it could be us, Gay.
Fantastic. Thank you both for your time. Brett, we'll have to come back and have you as a musical act at some point.
You don't want that.
Mission in motion, yes.
I promise you don't want that.
And James, thank you for the wonderful research, and we'll have that available on the IWE website, as I'm sure Magnite will have it up on their site as well. But thank you both
absolutely.
for thanks, joining Gay. Me today. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for your time, Gay. Really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you very much, Gay. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
The IAB Australia podcast, digital advertising leaders and the issues that matter. For more information, visit iabaustralia.com.au.